Ah, Howard.
What it is.
I don't know. Why am I making those, like, I Love Lucy, wah, Ricky noises? And I start off an episode in a less appealing manner. I think not. I feel like ass, though. I really do feel run over twice, man.
Oh, you should get hyped, man. We're about to do a, like, cuss dirty show, right?
No, this is a clean one. You can curse on the football show. I'll give you that much.
All right. Well, I'm a little bummed.
I'll give you Liberia.
I think we're down.
Are you? You're not too pumped
now? I think
we're
both down. Yeah, never mind.
I think I've been sick for like 3 or 4 days. I got that thing going where you wake up and you literally feel like you did not sleep one bit. I woke up this morning around 8 because I'm a young go-getter like that. And I know, we're so slothful that you hear 8 and you're like, wow, that early?
Like a normal person? What are you doing?
Well, I remember when
what
I was...
What are you doing?
I was normal. I was up at like 6:30, I think, for work.
Once upon a time.
Oof, what a hell. Dude, I could have gone right back to bed. And it was great. I signed on real quickly to get my brain flowing a little bit. Did a little Xbox. Just wanted to play some Diablo 3. And if you want to talk sloth, our mutual friend Tony, who lives as an adult boy... Yeah. If you will, I sign on at 8:30. Tony has been up all night playing Diablo. He's like, took this character from nothing to level 21, and I just jump in the game, get in a couple myself, and at 9:30, I think I have a saved, you know, message, Xbox message from Tony saying, "All right, man, I'm gonna get some sleep finally.
Wow,
have a good one."
Jeez, that takes me back to like, age 23.
Oh, in that moment, I knew jealousy.
Yeah.
It had been a while. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood.
What's up?
It's what he makes the bitches do. Why did I do that? I hate your alias, but I went along with it this time. The show's website is inpapasbasement.com. Go there for new episodes of the show every Monday, every Thursday. They're about an hour long, give or take. I also post my writing there. And I try to keep that funny. Fingers crossed. What the hell do I know? It's your call to make.
Your reviews of movies that you've never actually seen are quite excellent.
Thank you, sir. I try to do those when I can. Sometimes I actually have to work, unlike Tony.
Right.
God bless.
The life of the independent contractor is something to all for all to enjoy.
It keeps me from that. But once in a while I get one out, get one done. Bunch of my writings there. You can also find links to the football show Howard and I do, hosted at pfpod.com, and last but not least, the comic I do, thespookiescomic.com. That's all on In Papa's Basement. What are you looking at me?
I'm enjoying the succinct description of all your plugs.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, it's not captivating listening if I do 8 minutes of plugs at the beginning. I would beg to differ, but maybe I'm a little partial when it comes to that. Today's a good show. We haven't a guest. Well, had a call in. But it's a guest I actually give a crap about. And you know, that's a rarity. Good old Sean F. of Opie and Anthony fame. He who makes all the E-Rock parodies. We've talked on Twitter for a while. And finally, I was like, why is this guy not on my show? He's funny. I enjoy his product. We have 8 listeners that can get exposed to Sean F. via this.
Yeah, let's see how much his SoundCloud blows up after this, huh?
Oh, it won't. It will. Well, compared to the promotion he gets via another show called Opie and Anthony, I think I won't account for much. It'd be nice if people visited, you know, the Twitter, I think, at Mondo270.
Okay.
You can just Google Sean F. E-Rock, and you'll get all the Sean F. stuff you need. But we're going to go to a Sean F. interview that we pre-taped maybe an hour ago momentarily. I think that runs about 20 minutes, and then we'll do the rest of the episode, which is Grammys talk. Because God, some places this episode will be airing a week from now. They're going to be like, why are they discussing the Grammys?
It's important, man. I think the Grammys are worth talking about, like, basically every year, you know?
Even on our page, this is airing end of January. This is, which is right when it's recorded.
Just the state of the music industry. Let's talk that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through the lens of the Grammys.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's a story that will continue to be ongoing throughout the future of the American music industry, I think.
Yeah, and our mutual buddy Jerry had a kid last night, which may or may not have been January 26th. Not dating the episode any.
Congrats to the happy couple. The new Peaser baby is going to be a new and enjoy. I'm trying to come up with something that's just basically trying to pretend like I'm...
Yeah, Denny Perez. Funny, because there's a big O&A guy lately named Denny as well, who's kind of a bumbling dumb S.
Oh, okay. Kind of like me trying to describe how excited I am that my friend had a baby. All right, yeah.
I don't exactly get it. Yeah, I guess Denny, or is it Demi? I forget what. Denny, right?
We're awesome friends, man.
Whatever. We got the general gist of the name.
We did get to run
if you grab the kid, you'll be like, oh, little Demi. And they'll be like, oh, okay.
Did we talk about the baby shower on air? Is that something that we talked about yet on the show?
We can talk again.
Yeah.
I've done 18 times the break where I talk about like banging chicks off of the dilly and hot or not and stuff like that. There, now it's the 19th. You can do them to death. But we're going to go to the Sean F. interview right now. And that means in studio, we're just going to pause for 5 seconds and I'll put a marker in where we'll paste the Sean F. interview. And then we'll get right to it the rest of the episode.
Sex Bagel is a big fat guy. His titties are big.
This is a guest literally only for my enjoyment. Howard, you know nothing about Opie and Anthony. I'm a huge fan. See, this is the reaction of a man who's heard not heard this song before, doesn't know who the hell Sex Bagel is, but it's a parody song created by Sean F. The guy cracks me up. He was on Twitter. We started like mutually following each other. I don't exactly know how.
I guess he has seen pictures of you, huh, John?
Yeah. I don't know how it worked, but it's one of those weird things. And, you know, I figured, what the hell? I have a show. Let's get him on. It'd actually be amusing to me. Let's pot him up right now. Sean, are you there?
Yes, I am, John. How are you, sir?
I am good. Yourself?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very good. You know, that song is so mean now that I hear it over the radio like that again. I take back everything I said. I'm shutting down the SoundCloud page. I'm wiping it out.
It's great. Yeah, I feel we need to do introductions. Like, God, where do we start? Well, Opie and Anthony, a dude talk show that I love. I've become obsessed with really in its later years. When did you first get into them, Sean?
Well, I was a fan of them back in like 06 because I had always known about them. Like when Stern was on, I think everybody that's in radio can say that they were a Stern guy for a long time.
Exactly. That was everyone's like first set of training wheels for the guy talk.
100%. You know, and I started hearing about Opie and Anthony because they had gone to XM prior to Howard going over to Sirius. And I heard about them, and I knew there was a fight going on between those two, but I never really got a chance to really listen to them full time. Mm-hmm. And then in 06, they started doing free FM in addition to XM. Like, they would do XM for a few hours, and then they would do the walkover and do terrestrial radio for a few hours.
It was a very weird setup. I remember that, too. Yeah. It was like, hey, guys, remember Opie and Anthony? They're back. And they were on, like, JFK, my local Guy Talk station, for 6 months, five. I mean, it was a brief window that lasted.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I was in, I still live in South Jersey, and 94YSP is the big station here. They're out of Philly. Uh-huh. And they had done, you know, I think like you said, it was probably about a year or so. But that really got my attention. I'm like, wow, these guys are doing double duty. They're doing XM and also terrestrial. These guys are worth listening to. So I've pretty much been a full-time, you know, listener since about 06.
I got into them, Christ, maybe back in 02, like when they first started appearing. It was they got the afternoon drive, and that bumped Don and Mike. Like, Don and Mike in D.C. agreed to do middays so right. They could be, like, packaged with Howard Stern as this, you get these three shows. And maybe Ron and Fez was billed as the evening show for this package.
Right.
And they were just actively beefing with Don and Mike. And I took it personally because I grew up really with, like, Howard Stern and Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the beginning, I was like, screw these guys. Who do they think they are?
Well, that's the other thing. I remember hearing about their fights because I knew they were drawing with Stern, and I also heard about the Don and Mike fights. Like, it was so bad that to a point, like, the producers had to step in and said, listen, you guys got to stop this. It's too over the top.
yeah, exactly.
like, you guys got to stop.
The Sharks and the Jets. It was very heated.
Yeah, big time, big time.
I remember Don and Mike, just near the end of it, released these bumper stickers that simply read F-O-N-A, and they're like, these are our fans of nice asses stickers. Every so often in the D.C. area, you'll still see an F-O-N-A sticker, and I laugh hysterically.
It all worked because, you know, I mean, I think that probably drew a lot of people to them because, again, like I said, even before I knew who they were 100%, I knew of the fights, and that just kind of drew my attention. But then once you really get into the show, Opie and Anthony as a show, you realize how funny they are on their own. They don't need the fights, you know what I mean, with Howard and
oh, yeah, I really feel they've come of their own in the last few years because I purchased a Sirius unit that had, like, the best of XM package because I was like, hey, I worked back in the day at XM, so I got it for free. And I was like, I'm predominantly a Stern listener. I'm happy I finally get to listen to this. And then I flipped over to them during commercials. And then I think what happened with a lot of people is Stern would take these, like, literally, what, 3 week vacations and come back for two episodes in the summer and then take another week. And I was like, screw this. I can only hear the same repackaged crap so often. And Opie and Anthony were just really kicking some ass then. And so I fell into their arms, as it were, and have been listening pretty loyally for the last several, 3 years, I guess.
Right, and I'm the same way. I think Howard kind of did it to himself. I mean, when you're away for 3 weeks and you hear the same show that you just heard maybe a month ago, you're like, I want to listen to something new, you know. So I think that drew a lot of people to ONA. But absolutely, Opie and Anthony are probably, in my opinion, the best radio show on right now. Obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, but, yeah, me too. I find them just brilliant. Like, the level of comedy they bring and the timing, it's not like you really have to be invested in the show to understand what they're doing is funny. And it's funny, you're one of the few guys actually that does almost the Stern-esque kind of, we have this cult of character built up where just mentioning his name is funny, where you can toss out a slobbo mentioning E-Rock. We should E-Rock Howard, I know you don't really do Opie and Anthony, he is their producer. And much like we're talking Stern, Baba Booey was the target of kind of everyone. He was the universal urinal on the show. And unfortunately, E-Rock has kind of landed that same mantle on Opie and Anthony, where, Sean, you can explain it because you're the guy making these songs. It's almost like out of the entire cast of characters, he is the only one. God, I hate it that I said characters instead of just people on the show. Out of the entire cast, he's the one guy who's kind of green lit for audience mocking. Like, there are guys below him. I think technically even Sam is lower on the totem pole.
Right.
But it's not like they invite everyone to kind of pick on Sam or even Sal. It's E-Rock, who's not that far beneath them. He's the, I guess, technically the producer. It's a weird thing that his title is. He's like producer / board op. But, yeah, you can explain it, man.
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny. If you go into the history of E-Rock from when he first kind of started with them all the way through, I mean, there's just so much fodder for the kind of stuff that I'm doing and stuff that Jefferson Kay's doing and Sean Breeding and Sean B. These are guys that have been doing E-Rock songs. George Hookus, who did the E-Rock Army N-Word song.
That was a good one.
I would say the full thing, but I know it's, you know, anyway. But I'm white, so I don't think I can get away with saying it. I think George is too, but I think he's, you know, he's like a true rapper, a true...
Really? He sounds quite black when doing it. But, yeah, the whole logic of, like, wait, there's a black guy listening to Opie and Anthony? I am confused.
Follow George online. He's about to drop something new, I think, in the next month or so, and I think it's going to flip everything over, you know, in a really cool way. But anyway, but E-Rock does so much stuff that is fodder for songs. First off, it's cool that he has like four different names. You know, you got Eric, E-Rock, Negel, Sex Bagel, you know, all these names. So if you're trying to fit, you know, syllable-wise in a song, you got like five different names to choose from. And then, of course, he plays with Legos. I mean, this is a 35-year-old man, mind you.
And again, it's so funny because I've worked in radio and I've dealt with guys who kind of pick on you and can get away with it because of your station. So I, even though we're talking about Eric, I do nothing but identify with him and what he has to go through on the show. I'm just like, those son of a bitches, what are they doing to you? But yeah, he's a dude who's very into, I suppose, just vices and pleasures, not of the flesh, Howard. There's nothing really sexual he enjoys. It's like he's big on a root beer float. He likes playing with Legos. He is big on owning a video game as soon as it comes out. Like, I remember last Christmas, he was the one guy on the show who landed a Wii U, like, instantly. I was like, wow, someone's into the Wii U. Not that I'm not a Nintendo nerd, but I'll play that, like, 4 years from now when it's, like, $50 at GameStop.
I think he's definitely an early adapter, as they call him, right? The early guys that jump on the bandwagons. But but also, of course, don't forget Doctor Who. You know, he's huge on Doctor Who. And I could care less about Doctor Who, but... I do mention Doctor Who a few times in a couple of my songs, I think.
I want to like it. I have not made it through season one. That one's apparently painful, and there's a reward after that. Can't do it.
He loves British shows in general, too, like if you go on his Twitter, which I've been blocked from since.
Yeah, still shocks me, because for my money, you've never done anything overtly cruel to the guy, but I can see how if he's dealing with this from, like, 10 different sources, you're just like, screw this. It's been enough.
For a while, I wasn't blocked, and surprisingly, just a few months ago when Opie gave his phone number out accidentally over the air, I had actually gone online and I said, because people were calling them left and right, and I actually, not that people listen to me, they don't care what I have to say, but I wrote on there, I said, hey, listen, don't call E-Rock. I don't think it's cool. Opie admitted it was a mistake and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if E-Rock took that as sarcasm, but ever since that text or that tweet I did online,
that got you nailed.
Me. Yeah, so but he also blocked me from time to time.
You're like Rodney King during the riots.
Yeah. The coolest thing he ever did, though, I sent in some boxes of goldfish. You might remember over the summertime.
Yeah, and you can apparently, Howard, customize goldfish. Correct me
right.
if I'm wrong. I'll tell your whole bit. and you can put various pictures, I guess, onto the goldfish. And what, you put just pictures of his face on the goldfish wrappers
right.
or something like that?
Right. I got a full body shot that it was from the tequila and donut day.
Yeah.
Somebody snapped a picture of E-Rock, and he was totally drunk off his ass. He was pointing to the camera, and his face was totally blottoed. And it's actually, if you go on my Twitter, it's the picture that is like behind my Twitter.
Oh, your banner, yeah. He's
right, right.
Sean F is Mondo270.
Right on Twitter. Yeah, thanks so much for that plug. I appreciate it.
No problem. We'll get it in again.
No, that's fine. There's a link right on there to my SoundCloud, so you can hear my 12 crazy E-Rock songs. But yeah, so I sent him the box, and he actually was pretty cool. He's sitting at the board. He has the goldfish in his hand, and he snapped a pic, and he sent it to me, and he said, thanks a lot for the gift. So that was actually kind of cool. But that was...
Howard, sorry. Howard saw the picture and is now laughing.
Right. That was right. Coincidentally, that was right after I sent in Big Fat Guy. And,
yeah.
And I'm a true child of the 80s. I'm actually, I'm 41. So in 1980, I was 8 years old. And by the time the 80s were over, I was 18. So I'm a true child of the 80s. So that Matthew Wilder song, you know... Nobody gonna break my stride, you know.
Yeah, oh, that was a good pull. That is, I swear to God, maybe the only parody where I learned the song originally the original song through the parody, and I found it
right.
hysterical even before that. And then I heard the original, I'm like, oh, this is even better.
Right, right. No, it's a really cool song. It's one of those catchy songs. And at my work, we actually have Sirius on all the time, and sometimes we'll have the 80s station on. And one day they were playing that Matthew Wilder song, and I was like, da-da, Slabo, instead
yeah.
of, you know, it just fits, you know, it just fit too easy. And that's a pretty simple song, but I mean, and we were talking a little bit off air about Your Fat as F,
the
Dan Bush song.
Let's fire up Your Fat as F, which I'll,
right.
I'll bleep from the clean version. If you want to hear this
right.
in all of its glory, go to inpoppisbasement.com. I'll have the Sean F episode up, but let's give that a listen right now.
Can I do one quick thing before you do that?
Absolutely.
The only thing to listen to this song, and I listen to it now and I kind of cringe. At the time I made the song, I didn't have a karaoke track for it, so I'm actually kind of singing over the vocal. So just forgive that a little bit. And I think it holds up pretty good, but it's not a true clean song. But anyway, go ahead.
Will there be a re-recorded "You're Fat as F"?
You know what's funny? A few months ago, I actually came across the true karaoke version of that song. So you never know. It might maybe a remaster somewhere down the line. You know?
All right. For all you Transformers fans, here it comes.
You're fat as fuck. You are a slobber.
Again, slobber.
Yeah.
I love it. It just goes from there. We could pot it back down, but I love that one.
Kind of a long intro, you know.
It's all right. Don't worry. They don't have to come roaring out of the gate. It's just unfortunate for radio.
This
but,
is officially the 17th episode we've referred to You've Got the Touch on this. Yeah.
Oh, we do it all the time. We
right.
cannot get enough.
Transformers movie. It's funny. I was listening to you guys the other day. I guess it was your 2 week show ago. You guys were talking about the Transformer movie, and I was like, that's too big of a coincidence, because here's my Your Fat as F song. And we're going to be talking about that probably. So, I do apologize for coming onto your show, or I guess discovering your show too late, because John, me and you have been tweeting for the last maybe 5-6 months, and for some reason I never listened to your podcast. And
oh, please, don't worry. That's literally everyone on Twitter, because it's so much easier to just talk to each other. I have dudes that I've tweeted for years. I mean, like, maybe the first 10, 20 people I got in touch with via Twitter, and
right.
the dude's, I want to say 4 years later, without exaggerating. He's like, oh, I finally listened to the show. I've had people like, you do a radio show? I'm like,
right.
Christ, I understand not listening, but to not see every damn link that I tweet, come the F on.
Well, I finally saw you had posted that you had reviewed Her, the movie Her that just came out, and
oh,
I love
God.
Her. So that, you know, I listened to this. That's when you did the solo show. So Howard, unfortunately, you weren't there at the time, but I loved Her. I thought that was so good. And then I went back and I listened to the show with you and Howard, and you guys were talking about True Detective and all those kind of shows. And you actually turned me on to True Detective. I watched it last night. I thought it was pretty good.
Another good episode.
great. Yeah, that's the first one I watched. I didn't see the one yet that you were talking about with the girl with the nice boobies.
Oh, God, episode two. You got to check that out.
I got to go back and watch that.
Did you catch the Kingpin? It has to be a Kingpin reference on episode three.
Last night?
Yeah.
Which part? I'm trying to remember.
Okay, it was Woody Harrelson and Matt McConaughey is over, and it looks like he's about to cuckold Woody Harrelson, like he's all sweaty from mowing the lawn.
Oh, he was so pissed that he mowed that lawn.
Yeah, and it's not Kingpin, I'm sorry, it was it was Kingpin.
It's Kingpin, yeah.
Yeah, is it Roger
Quaid.
Clemens?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or is it Cam, I'm trying to remember which jock, because the Farrellys love a huge jock cameo. In each of their movies. And I'm trying to remember whose cameo this was where, they think Randy Quaid is about to sleep with some dude's chick. And so what happens is Woody Harrelson jumps in and punches Randy Quaid across
right.
the face.
Yeah.
And he's like, take that, you freaky piece of ass. You don't mow another guy's lawn.
You know what's funny? I didn't even put two and two together. That's pretty deep, man. Pretty
yeah, cool. And there's
that's why you do what you do. You have all those references and all that.
Well, there's a dude who tweeted me, Rich Weatherby, and he went nuts with it because he's like, you realize they showed in another episode, Matt McConaughey lives in the crappiest little apartment that has like an 8-inch lawn. He's like, literally, the writers must have just been itching to get that in there.
I love how slow Matthew McConaughey walks in it, too. Like, when he was walking away from Woody, when he's like, hey, come back here. He was just very methodically walking forward. Just like at the end of the show when he was, like, talking to that dude that was doing the lawn at that old church and he was walking back to the car.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson's, will you hurry the F up or something like that? It's just so well done. It just kind of, even just Matthew McConaughey walking is done well. It's just
it's brilliant. It's so good. Yeah.
Really good.
That is the gist of this. Listen to Sean F.'s work and watch True Detective. That's
yes, there you go. That's the two things. And go back to episode one so you can see the girl with the nice boobs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. That was a good one.
I got to see that.
My girlfriend was pissed at me for that episode.
What?
Oh, yeah, because I wouldn't just shut the F up about her cans in it.
The girl's got a great face, too, so I can imagine.
Oh, she's stunning. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. But anyway, I hate to digress. Sorry about that, guys.
No worries, man. That is the show.
Yeah.
Digression, and then you're like, are we done yet?
No. What I'm saying is everybody should listen to Papa's Basement because in addition to hearing about songs about fat dudes, you get great, you know, talk about TV shows and music and that and everything. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, and just coincidentally, once you're done with your inpapasbasement.com visiting, how about a visit to soundcloud.com/SHAWNN? Wow, let's try to get that out right. Sean.
My SoundCloud page is horrible. I mean, the address is horrible. I apologize for the bad address.
It's what, Sean-F-1?
Yeah.
That's what I'm staring at right now. I know I need to let you go because it's around 12:25, and frankly, I could keep yammering for like 20 more minutes. As soon as I swear to God, I never have anyone on the show, but there's like something just comfortable. If you're like you're into Opie and Anthony, it means you understand radio in the way that I understand radio, and we could keep yammering.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you having me on. If I can say one thing to E-Rock, if you're listening, E-Rock, unblock me from your Twitter. Thank you very much. And
this is only going to serve to get me blocked.
If you're not already blocked, you will be blocked. I hate to tell you.
God damn it.
Howard, you too. Howard, you too. Howard, I need to follow you. I'm not sure. Howard, what's your Twitter handle? I don't think I'm following you yet.
I am at WhatTheFNHeezy. That's nice. My Twitter handle.
It's very difficult. I'll try to tweet him in the next couple hours so you can just find it that way.
John, your Ebonics just sucks. Like, you got to understand, it's not that bad.
Right. Yeah, Heezy. I don't think I've ever spelled out Heezy before.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Sean, I'm going to let you go, man. Thank you very much, and I'll put plugs out for all that you do as soon as we hang up.
Thanks so much.
And get rolling.
Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Later, man.
Take care.
I love that guy.
That was awesome, man. Yeah.
We're just going to toss this at the end of the episode. But yeah, it's one of those weird Twitter relationships where you've been in touch for a while. I want to say it's almost like smelling Opie and smelling his fingers by proximity to get the scent of Opie and Anthony. Be like, what is it like to be mentioned on the show? What is it like to have your parodies grace their airwaves? The guy is really funny and talented. That goddamn Break My Stride parody.
I really appreciate his commitment not only to music but to shitty late 80s music.
Yeah.
Because I think I've told you about this, but I recently joined a cover band where all we do is cover late 80s shitty rock songs. So
yes.
I think we're going to have to look into...
I'm going to keep bleeping you. This is supposed to be the clean
show. Oh, right. My bad. But anyway, so I got to look into this song. I'm going to pitch to the guys because, you know, there's only so many Eric Carmen songs you can do before people start asking you to do something else.
And of course, you got the touch. Maybe do it with the alternate lyrics, too.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, Stan Bush is going to be a hard sell to the guys. I think we would have to do it in the style of Marky Mark. I really do. Like, if you were going to do it, it would have to be purposefully
You own the
bad.
Tapes. Put the magic on that tapes. It belongs to us. Again, one final round of plugs, and then I guess we're going to, like I said, we're going to tag this at the end of the episode, so we'll probably go to a normal outro after this. At Mondo270, M-O-N-D-O-270 on Twitter for Sean F. And the very important thing is SoundCloud. That is soundcloud.com/shawn-f-1. See what dealing with something like what the F and Heezy is? It's a pain. It's a pain, Howard. Sean F., good dude. Glad to finally have him on the air. All right, let's bail and do the actual outro.
Yeah, man, I got to eat, so let's do this.
If you're listening to this sequentially, this is the first part we did on Monday. Now we're going to go eat lunch, and then we're going to come back and do the rest of the episode. We're back, Howard. I surprised you.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Once again, let's plug what Sean F.'s got out there. It's twitter.com/Mondo/. This is a backslash. I can never keep track of all the slashes. Typing it in right now, by the way, to confirm this is his Twitter handle. I want to say it's Mondo270. And it is. Why? Oh, I was going to say, why does it say I'm not following him? I'm not signed on this computer. Thank Christ. And soundcloud.com/Sean, not the Irish weird spelling, the good American S-H-A-W-N. He's not seen. Sean-F-1. It's a hyphen too, right? Slash is hyphen.
Hyphen one.
Finkel is Einhorn. Sean-F-1. You'll figure it out. Just look up Sean F. SoundCloud. Let's do the rest of the episode now. I think we got a meaty 20 minutes out of that Sean F. interview. I could have talked to that dude for like an hour.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. My bad for coming in late. I think I intruded into our time that we could speak with him.
No, so. We did fine. It literally would have just been the two of us jerking each other over talking about Opie and Anthony. Like, oh, remember that time they did this? Fap, fap, fap. Let's talk Grammys. That was last night, except if you're hearing this episode later, it wasn't last night. It was whatever appropriate amount of time. It should be.
Right.
So, like, I think even on In Papa's Basement, this will be going up Thursday.
Okay.
So, it was Monday. And I believe the More Like Radio crowd, God bless More Like Radio, Mitch Hale. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. I want to say Mitch Hale because that's funny. Mitch Hale and the rest of the gang, you'll be hearing this one a week from the Grammys. So, it'll be really dated by then. Like, everyone wants to discuss what happened on the Grammys the day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the Super Bowl and hear us talk about it, you should tune into pfpod.com.
Boom. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah, that'll be an actual up-to-date episode. So there you go, bitches.
But so don't, the Super Bowl, like, we got a link for you. But when it comes to the state of the American music industry, I think we learned something yesterday with the Grammys. I mean, did you watch the Grammys at all?
I didn't, man. I'm going to shtick it up in a minute and just go through the little CNN slideshow of what happened. And okay. I think that'll be enough for me to get worked up and piss all over the Grammys. I didn't, though. I've given up on watching crap that I wouldn't typically watch just so that I can live tweet it and get one or two followers and then lose 3 to 4 followers who are pissed that I was tweeting so much. There's no damn point.
I mean, it's the red carpet's always interesting to see who's looking like a piece of A and who's looking like a train wreck. I mean, that's definitely one of the highlights of if you're actually going to watch it. You might get something out of that, but really, like, what you're about to do, you're going to get all the good picks.
Well, is there still, like, Joan Rivers, or is that on the Oscars?
I don't know what she does. I haven't seen it.
She and her, like, hag-faced little daughter, Melissa.
Oh, right.
I mean, I screw them both, whatever. Even Joan, I guess. I know on Lucky Louie, or not Lucky Louie, on just Louie. Good old Louie C.K. had sex with her in one episode.
Really? Ugh.
Yeah, I mean... Look, I probably wouldn't. Like, the actual mechanics of an old lady's stuff down there is not attractive at all. Like, God knows, whatever they can tape together and put together with, like, duct tape and, you know, bubble gum with the clothes on, God knows what it is with the clothes off. But the daughter, sure, what the hell?
I wonder what she's looking like recently, because it's been a while since I've seen her on TV. So.
Who, Joan?
Yeah. No, the daughter.
Oh, Melissa.
Melissa, yeah.
Let me look up Melissa Rivers.
She was like, she was way more bumping when they were on E. I can't remember the last time I saw them on E. It was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, I guess Melissa's even, she's 46. Yeah, she's no spring chicken, although 46 this day and age is pretty present. Ooh, God damn it.
She's looking like a 20th century 46.
No, she's starting to look like that weirdo who had all the surgery to become a cat.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like, look at this picture right here, man. You can bend your head around. She even has a little collar on, almost. Oh. But look at that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, why? I know Joan went nuts with the plastic surgery, but Christ, Melissa didn't have to follow strong. Oh, this is her before surgery. Jesus Christ, she looks like a young Joan in here. That one's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when she was more normal looking, it was good.
Before she didn't shave her beak down. The bat mitzvah rite of passage. Yeah, I don't know if those guys, they might do it still on E. I'm not really sure. But what happened? Because I'm looking, the big news that I'm getting, and I'm going to put it out there right now, I don't care about music anymore. I don't know really what's going on in music at all. I don't listen to pop radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy albums anymore. You know the last album I got? I bought Lou Reed's Transformer.
Nice.
Because I wanted to hear Perfect Day while I took a dump. And it cost $5 for the whole album. And I went, sure, what the hey? And it, I can't even say I'm really happy I purchased it because the rest of it was uneven.
When did you know that the Grammys were meaningless? Like, when did it really strike you?
Oh, I can tell you 100%. They put down for the first year a heavy metal category. I learned it young. And Metallica was nominated and did one. I believe they performed one, which is why it's funny they did it again last night. And they lost to Jethro Tull's new album.
That's
in
weird.
The heavy metal category. And it's like one of the most laughable Grammy moments of all time. If you're a metalhead, you've never taken the Grammy seriously.
Yeah.
Because the very first time it came along, Jethro Tull won best metal album over, or hard rock / heavy metal. I forget the category. But they beat Metallica's Justice for All. And you're like, okay, this is a farce. I mean, since then, I think Slayer has won Grammys, Slipknot. Not that I really care for Slipknot, but they're certainly metal-ish. I mean, some hard acts have won it in the day since, but that very first time, I was like, okay, Jethro Tull won. That's nice. I will never give a crap about this again.
Yeah, the whole voting process is a joke. I mean, the way that it ends up panning out, especially for like these more fringe types of music, like heavy metal, and I'm more concerned with the way that the rap awards are given out. Because Will Smith has a rap Grammy for that Miami track. Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Hold on, I'm trying to dig up my old prep because I actually saved, I had emailed myself a list that CNN compiled of quote-unquote the best albums to never win a Grammy. And there are some there, it was the standard assortment, like there was like a Paul Simon album. It's like, okay, I get that's like an old dude, you know, old white guy. And yeah, he should have won because that's his thing. Like old white rock guys should win the Grammys. But near the end, they had up like Enter the 36 Chamber or 36 Chambers Enter the Wu-Tang. I'm like, yeah, no damn, you know, I want to drop a lot of profanity. No crap. No S, good sir. That didn't win a damn thing. Enter the Wu-Tang.
No, it's Return to the 36 Chambers from ODB lost to Naughty by Nature in the first year that the rap award was given out for best album.
Naughty was huge back then. Like I
come on though, man. Really?
I mean, it's not like Naughty is some joke act.
They're not. It's just, to me, that's a bit much for me to accept that.
It's not nearly as weird as Jethro Tull beating Metallica in a metal category. Hard rock / metal.
But yeah, Puff Daddy.
Jethro Tull's a flute.
Puff Daddy beat.
It's a heavy.
Anything by Puff Daddy being Wu-Tang Forever. Come on. That happened.
A Wu Forever was slept on, period. Yeah, it's just nothing. Why would you care if it gets an award? Do you really care if like a movie wins an Academy Award?
I mean, I think there's a little bit more credibility. I don't have much faith in either awards process, but the Grammys have always had a problem for me because when we were young, Milli Vanilli did receive a Grammy for what was...
Blame It on the Rain?
Well, for the album. Oh, yeah. Okay. So they didn't actually produce the vocals on a single track for that act. And yet they actually had their Grammy taken away, even though if it's for the quality of the album, you know what? It was a well-produced album. I don't see the reason in taking it away simply because the guys that were marketed as the front did not actually sing the vocals. Mm-hmm. To me, like the album was like the Grammy was deserved still, even if the guys who received it aren't the ones to deserve it. So that was the first time to me where I was like, this is a bit confusing. I think they're just trying to cover their asses. And the reality is, ever since then, it's hard for me to take them seriously, especially last night with Macklemore getting Best Rap Album of the Year.
Sorry, I'm looking at the 94 Academy Awards and just getting pissed all over again. Best Picture, Forrest Gump, which is, can we just all say is a piece of crap, unequivocally? Just totally manipulative junk slapped together. And I'm not saying that to sound too cool for school. I like a lot of mainstream junk. I really didn't like Forrest Gump.
I was okay with it. I think it's an okay movie.
Beats out Shawshank and...
Doesn't.
And Pulp Fiction.
Does not.
Thank you.
Yeah, does not.
Even Four Weddings and a Funeral, better movie.
Interesting. I wouldn't say
quiz
that.
Quiz show, better.
That's probably true.
Yeah, so it's the crappiest. Zemeckis won as director over Quentin Tarantino.
Bizarre. Yeah, completely bizarre.
Tom Hanks beats Travolta.
Yeah, a lot of these are just popularity contests. They really are.
Lately, though, I can at least side with that. So much of the Academy's as of late is just like, here's our weird little film that we're going to plug the hell out of 2 months. Like the Weinsteins have just become masters of this. They just buy a movie, plug the hell out of it. It's like, oh, it's artsy and weird. It's huge. Like, what the hell was that silent movie that had the dog?
Oh, The Artist?
The Artist. What the F is that? No one could find the artist to take a piss on it at this point. And we're, what, 18 months from it removed winning Best Picture?
Yeah.
That's what you need to know about these awards.
I guess my biggest problem with the recent Grammy Awards and Macklemore receiving Best Rap Album is even he himself went up. This is the news that just came out today, if we were recording this the day after the Grammys.
Which we aren't. We're recording it any day you need us to be. We're like prostitutes. It's like, hey, what's your name? What do you want it to be, sugar?
But he's apologized already to Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know who the hell Kendrick Lamar is, by the way. Is that Khloe Kardashian's husband?
He performed last night with Imagine Dragons, apparently. I didn't see this. He's getting some more mainstream exposure to white people because he played with Imagine Dragons at the Grammys.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Kendrick Lamar is decent. He's decent.
I know nothing about current hip-hop.
There's some stuff that you should check out from him.
You know
where
I tapped out on modern hip-hop? When Massacre was released by 50 Cent. That's it. I really haven't listened to modern hip-hop since.
Does he have a Grammy? I wouldn't be surprised. Fitty? I think he does.
Fitty? F-I-T-T-Y? Fitty Tuck?
Anybody who has to spell in order to rap, you know, that's questionable right there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the KMFDM move, where just your every other song mentions your band by name. It's such filler.
And, it's bizarre because Kanye West wasn't even nominated this year.
Yeah, the last rap song I've heard more than once was that Bound 2, because it had the weird video with like him and Kim K, and everyone went nuts for it. And I know they're crapping on it on Opie and Anthony, and I listened to it at home. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was a decent song. It wasn't great, but...
It's just, I guess, Lou Reed, on his Way Out of Life, did write a review of Kanye's latest thing. And I mean, he was just...
That was like the last
it.
Thing he wrote, I believe.
Yeah. And he was comparing it to, I guess, it was the album that you just purchased most recently.
Transformer?
Right? Yeah. He was comparing, like, the... Because that's the one where he just... Or no, Metal Machine.
Metal Machine Music.
Yeah,
all
right.
Is one of the only... It's probably the other Lou Reed album I've heard.
Okay, because Lou Reed was comparing Kanye's latest album to Metal Machine Music, so...
Really?
As far as, you know, like, kind of bucking what was expected. And so he was giving Kanye high praise for really just... going out there and doing what he wanted to, like, push the envelope instead of just trying to fit into what people want.
Nothing compares to Metal Machine Music. Let me just put that out right now. Metal Machine Music was, like, industrial sounds with weird feedback, if I recall. It's one of the strangest things I've ever heard. Now, that is a guy just putting out, hey, screw it. This is going to derail any steam I had. Any momentum that was coming.
Yeah.
Boom. Handbrake yanked.
I just, my biggest problem, though, is that Kanye had a better album. I haven't really listened to any of his albums.
Are you gonna turd yourself if I play like 30 seconds of Metal Machine Music?
No.
Okay.
Did you have it? Do you have it ready?
It's on YouTube right now. All right. The full album. Oh, please don't start with an ad. I'll look like a horse's ass. Oh, I think I beat it to the punch. Okay. This is your lead single. This is what we start Metal Machine Music with.
I'm liking it so far.
This sounds like Eraserhead.
It does. Yeah, that's cool.
This sounds like an effing nightmare. Now, I used to listen to weird crap when I was a kid. A lot of industrial.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, what's it? Die Krupps, a German industrial band, had, I believe, a song and an album called Metal Machine Music, or at least a song. And it was 100 times more melodic than this. They would start off with crap that sounded like this, but then they'd actually get to a beat. And vocals. This is just noise.
This is just going to continue.
This is Metal Machine Music. Do you want to get an hour into Metal Machine Music?
I would listen.
Sounds way different, doesn't it, Howard?
I would listen to this on a car ride. If I was driving somewhere on a long trip, I would put this on.
You would get out and your eyes and ears would be bleeding. And you'd be sterile if you listened to more than 15 minutes of this at once. Let's go 17 minutes in. Let's see what we're missing there. Ooh, very different.
It reminds me a little bit of some Ornette Coleman that I've acquired over the years. So.
Maybe 60 minutes in, it's gotten a little more toe-tapping. No, not so much. This is not me pausing and restarting. This is literally me jumping around the whole 90-minute album via YouTube. Okay. Not noticing a lot of change here. Let's get to the big finale number. Ending on a strong note. Yeah, okay. You've just listened to the entirety of Metal Machine Music by Lou Reed. Never compare. He was selling himself about 1,000 times short by comparing himself to Kanye.
Wait.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's like comparing Macklemore and his crap on stage to what Gigi Allin did. Gigi Allin would like crap into his hand like an angry chimpanzee and fling it at the audience.
Yeah.
And talked about wanting to bring a shotgun for his final show and kill half the audience before he killed himself on stage.
Right.
And the guy died of a heroin overdose. Please don't liken these two very...
I'm not the one who likened them. It's,
I know, Lou Reed did. I'm saying Lou was losing it, man.
It's the idea that when are you allowed as an artist to go off the rocker? And so, yeah, maybe Kanye did go a little bit off the rocker on this track, or this latest album. I will say, though, that I don't think it makes sense to me why Macklemore will beat Jay-Z. I think Magna Carta Holy Grail had to have a lot more to offer than The Heist. I mean, I have great difficulty with the way the voting process works because, one, I'm going to say it, I think it favors white rappers.
Yeah.
I mean, Eminem is a good rapper. I'm not going to take away anything from his Grammys, but I just feel like you have a year with an album that has a pro-gay rights track on it. And, you know, the message is good.
Oh, was it called Same Love or some crap?
I can't remember.
I think I saw that in the coverage earlier. I've never heard it.
It's beat poetry. It's not rap. It's not hip-hop. It is beat poetry. Somebody laid down a little beat and then just started. They got in front of everybody else at the coffee shop and did some, like, open mic. Hey, let me talk about a very important subject near and dear to my heart.
Same Love. Audience members participate. I'm reading CNN. This is a little panel number 4. Audience members participate in a mass wedding during the Macklemore and Lewis song Same Love, which advocates legalizing same-sex marriage. And it's like two kind of blackish-looking lesbians kissing each other.
Yeah, it's
so
a great...
So now the whole audience is going to hell. Thanks, Macklemore.
But it's a great ploy to get voters from the Grammys to go for. Obviously, that's probably not his
what,
initial intent.
What, a gay
in
Hollywood?
That.
Pishaw, Howard.
It's the voting is very much in the center of music. Who's running this in the mainstream? And so it really makes an appeal that's like very much outside of hip hop. Like, I still think that a fair number of hip hop artists are still rather discriminatory against their gay brethren.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just a little. I mean, what is considered more mainstream hip hop? I suppose not. Like, you had Frank Ocean coming out and being like, yeah, I sucked. I don't even think I can say the hard D. The hard D word on air.
The hard D
word. Clean one. Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, it's definitely changing, but, yeah, it's been noted that in the African-American community, like, this is one of the last groups in America that's turning around on the issue of same-sex union. So I think that it's going to be difficult for hip-hop artists who are not white to say what Macklemore is saying, but because he did say these things, he bought a lot of votes when it came to getting white people who vote for the Grammys to say, like, what a positive message coming from a rapper. My other problem with Macklemore is Thrift Shop is kind of a racist song, in my opinion.
Why? Is the chorus, only black people can afford.
I think it's the reason it's so popular. Yes, it's a satire of how a lot of hip hop is about spending money.
Yeah, I've heard that one like 4 or 5 times. It's just about buying cheap clothing.
But it's, you know, as much as you have a lot of hip hop in recent years, like, talking about being N-word rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that idea that, like,
well,
so much
one,
of it's about
one,
spending money on major, like, major
one
brands.
One piece of crap who got real pissed at Lorde because she was like, I'm sick of some Kiwi telling me that she's, you know, doesn't want to hear rappers talk about this. It's like when did overspending become a part of black pride? Like, do we really have to associate these two things?
See, I enjoyed Lorde's track. Like, that to me, it's
awesome.
A song. It's a song, and it's also kind of touching on these same issues. Thrift Shop is more overt in that it's like, it really is a hip-hop track that's a satire of, you know, this excess culture that is sometimes portrayed in hip-hop.
Yeah.
My only issue with it is not the song. It's the public's reaction. So, again, can't blame Macklemore. He's, again, apologetic about the fact he beat Kendrick Lamar. But the popularity of the song, it's a white rapper doing a song, making fun of other hip-hop tracks that are depicting, you know, just spending money you don't have sometimes. So, or just like, look at all the money I have. I'm going to make it rain. That whole attitude is being made fun of.
Which is fine by me, honestly. And I don't care that it's a white dude doing it.
I don't mind that either. That's not the part I mind. It's the part I mind is that so many people are like, that is so funny. I'm going to vote for that to be the best album because I just think that's such a silly way to spend money.
Okay.
That's my problem with it. I think that the success the album had, coupled with the way that the Grammy voters voted for it, I'm relieved that Macklemore said, I am sorry that I'm accepting this award because I really don't deserve it. That's the only thing he really could have said to make me feel good about like him as an artist. So,
Macklemore is big on being like, I am completely down with black guys. I'm almost apologetic. I'm here, which kind of, I don't like that so much. Like, dude, you're rapping. You're fitting in to some degree. Just shut up and stop having to kiss ass and apologize 24/7. If you feel that bad, front a punk band.
I don't think that's why he feels bad. I think he feels bad because he
knows. In this instance, yeah. I believe, yeah, he's really putting it out there. It's exactly like when Justin Timberlake beat out Johnny Cash's Hurt for, I think, Video of the Year with right. MTV that one time. He was like, oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. I grew up listening to your music.
That's good.
It's yeah. much in the same vein. They still kept the award. Don't get me wrong. He didn't have it re-etched and sent to Mr. C.
I would keep it, too. I mean, what are you supposed to do? Like, if, yeah, anyway. After you get one, maybe you can be a little snootier, which is one reason why Kanye's like, I don't need this anymore. I got plenty. I got my Grammys.
I think the first time around it is nice, especially early in the career, to get the recognition. But it's just, I don't see why anyone cares about it. I suppose if you're like, hey, this is designed to help me sell some records, I'd be great with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what the award's all
but
about.
But to actually think this is the validation I need. Dude, we have nothing. No one listens to this show. It gets no press. I know we do a decent job.
Yeah.
It's not me being insane.
But we're okay.
We're passable behind a mic.
If we were on the National Podcast Awards show and, you know, we were nominated Best Show of the Year, I mean, would you go?
Where is it located?
I mean, LA. Like LA or New York?
Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll say thanks, but no thanks. LA or New York? Yeah, what the hell?
Right, why not? And if the voting is based
now
on something ridiculous.
Now you're making
ridiculous.
Me wish such a thing existed.
I mean, there probably will be one at some point. But, I mean, just think about when the internet first got popular and people didn't know what they were doing. MTV UK had a competition online. Voting was best act ever. And their mistake was they didn't give you a list to pick from five finalists.
Mm-hmm.
They let people just vote based on, like, name a suggestion.
Did
and
One
we'll
Direction
have a board.
Win?
No.
Who?
Rick Astley.
Oh, they got rolled.
They got rolled, man. And so they refused to give out the award during the ceremony. They gave it to him beforehand because they couldn't not give it to him based on the rules. But it was supposed to be the capstone award for that year.
Yeah.
And instead, they moved it to like off camera because they were slightly embarrassed at what had transpired. So I don't know. Like, if it were that sort of thing where we basically just were given the chance to win Best Podcast of the Year and we're completely based on random bogus voting online.
I'm kind of plumping just hearing you use those words in conjunction with us. I'm like, oh, it does have a nice ring.
But
take back everything I said. Grammys are awesome. Yeah. Who doesn't want recognition? I'm a dunce.
Yeah, if we could just set up a way to win an award. I mean, it doesn't have to be fair, but it is what it is. And like, it doesn't validate. At the very least, though, you would take the award, you'd smile, you'd say nice things, and you'd know deep down inside, it's really not about the award. It's about the money that you might make afterwards.
Sorry, I'm now flipping through the rest of the Grammy pictures. I did hear about Trent Reznor crapping a kitten. Did you hear this?
No.
He was performing with Queens of the Stone Age and Dave Grohl and Lindsey Buckingham.
Right
at the end of the show, and they like cut it to go to credits.
Yeah.
And he was tweeting how pissed he was. To me, I that's like really childish. Like, it doesn't make him sound cool to be pissed at the Grammys. It's like hearing a teen saying, F you, Dad. I hate you.
I don't. My understanding of him,
I don't want to live here anymore.
He puts a lot of thought and effort into his live shows. So really? For them to diss him like that, that is a diss.
I guess, man. It doesn't seem counterculture to me at all to trash the Grammys, especially when you're part of it. And then you're like, I don't like the way you treated me.
It's very diva. It's a diva move.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Now I'm flipping through. Miranda Lambert performed with Billy Joe Armstrong. I don't really care about this. A big, someone looks like the fatso from Wilson Phillips.
She's here. Who's that?
She's with Ryan Lewis. And Ryan Lewis, by the way, I know he's like associated with Macklemore. What does he do?
He's the beat maker.
Oh, he's the producer.
Yeah. So basically, take us and be more successful. That's kind of like how they got famous. One guy just made the tracks, and then the other guy wrote the lyrics for it. And they did it with a setup probably similar to what we have here.
Mm-hmm.
They just happen to be like pretty good at what they do.
Mary Lambert. Mary Lambert's a big fat fatty. Just putting that out there. Take a look.
How are you looking?
She's got that kind of side of Bee Farm thing going.
I have no idea. I have no idea who you're talking about.
The one in the red.
Yeah, like what does she do? I don't know what she does.
I don't either. I'm just saying she's there with Queen Latifah and the rest of the gang. Madonna dressed as a cowboy.
Queef Latina. No.
Teen Laqueefa. And then apparently Metallica. I heard a little of this audio. They played one with a Chinese concert pianist. Now, I'm not being racist. His name Lang Lang. I thought that was like a panda thing.
Wow.
Where you just repeat a word.
No. When I was a mentor for freshmen when I was in college, my sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my mentees dated a kid named Meng Meng.
Meng Meng.
Meng Meng was his Chinese name, yeah. I hope he figured out soon after that.
Thank God that's never penetrated our culture, short of the band Mr. Mister. Man, Sarah Bareilles with Carole King. I don't care about this.
I like Sarah Bareilles.
Carole King looks like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, at least in this shot. Very creepy.
Yeah, these performances are just like weird. I don't know. There's nothing that excites me about it. It really is designed to get the older crowd excited about
me,
new
man.
Music.
Casey Musgraves, Follow Your Arrow. What the hell is that song? I don't give a crap, but look at this broad, man. Look at this getup she's wearing. She's a country chick.
Yeah, no, I know she is. Her music is not terrible.
Hold on, I have to Google the rest of this.
Casey. My concern with Casey is she's shown some talent in songwriting.
You want to multiple MIGs on your TV when you see her? That's my concern.
Well, no, like what's going to happen to her is like she's too attractive for people to give her honest critical feedback on her music. So, like she's not going to have like crappy music like Taylor Swift, but
oh, she is cute.
Yeah, like she's not going to reach her full potential as long as people are like, "Oh yeah, baby. I love that track. Why don't you take your shirt off and sing it one more time for me?"
That little getup was hot.
Yeah, no, she's pretty talented, man. But I just don't think she'll reach her full potential if she actually listens to people when they tell her if they like her music. So
she looks like a 70s Cowboys cheerleader.
You should check out her first single. Her first single, like, shows some songwriting talent.
I just Google imaged. We're done. Right.
I know you listen to country. Don't pretend like you don't. I think you'll actually appreciate it.
I listen to a lot of it, but I mean, like, old stuff.
She has more of an old sound, man. Like, whoever raised her on country music did it right.
But you know what's better than new music with an old sound? Just the old music. It's like the start of True Detective has this, I forget who the band is that does it, but it sounds, they're famed for quote-unquote murder ballads and sounding like Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash. It's like, I'd rather just listen to Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash.
I'm saying, man, her stuff is better than like 99.5% of what Tim McGraw has done.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I think it's worth a listen.
Same trailer, different park. Look at those gams. Look at the stems. Look at the short little skirt on this number.
I forgot that you probably had never heard of her, but that you would have really enjoyed her. Yeah, she's like 18, man. She's legal.
Yeah,
I think she's legal.
That's all you got to say.
Hey, we're up to, how we doing on time, man? Don't you have to wrap this up in an hour?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Oh, and there's Pink doing a trapeze thing. I hate anyone doing that fancy burlesque dancing. Ooh, stripping's an art. I went out a couple times with some chick who's like, I'm a pole dancer. It doesn't make me a whore. I like the art of pole dancing.
I like the art of it, too.
nothing wild about that.
I'm
flipping through. There's nothing else I care about. Oh, Katy Perry's in a bubble. Like the Pope.
Yeah,
I got nothing. You've ruined it. You've ruined my momentum by saying we have to bail out, which we do, I guess.
I'm trying to help you wrap this up, man.
I was being sarcastic. Let's wrap it up. Hold on. I got to pot up the iPod channel now and get that. Oh, wait. We don't use Surfrider anymore. We're just going to play the intro music again because it's easy like that. What? Don't look at me. Yeah, we'll just let that sit there like a bad fart. I thought you were going to jump in for a second.
You're welcome.
All right, you've made it through Papa's Basement. We did the Grammy talk. Thanks again to Sean F. I think between the actual interview closing and talking about him and then the closing talking about him, we've mentioned Sean F. 18,000 times in this episode. But he's a good dude, so screw it. Look up all the stuff we plugged before, the Mondo270 Twitter, and I think Sean-F-1 on SoundCloud. Now, as for me, I'm John Papa Giorgio at Papa's Basement on Twitter. Over here is Howard Flood at What the F in Heezy. The show's website, inpapasbasement.com. Go there for new episodes of the show every Monday and every Thursday. Find us on iTunes as well as our football podcast. That would be the best thing you could do for us. Find us on iTunes and subscribe. It's Papa's Basement on iTunes for this show. Papa's Football Podcast with apostrophes for all that. Papa's Football Podcast and Papa's Basement on iTunes. Find all that, subscribe, rate us well, and that's it. I guess we can do the baby. Jerry having a baby on another one. I like how we skipped the evergreen. It just went to the most topical thing that'll age like crap on a sidewalk. All right, we're out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.